corruption.
Okay, Mr. Davidson?
I'm not disputing that it shows the existing garage, but the property has, the lot addition has grown in size. If you take a look at what was before the planning board and what they adopted like a triangular piece of land. We now no longer have a triangular piece of land. I'm not saying it's an issue, but Patrick is going to have the survey, a new survey done of the new lot addition that's being applied for or looked at through this zoning amendment.
Patrick, is the lot addition different configuration?
I don't believe it is. I believe that the lot addition that was originally approved is what we are asking to rezone, or that is the subject of the rezoning.
It is.
And yes, there will need to be a reference plan that is deposited to show that.
Yeah, I don't have the original application in here, but I do remember a triangle, and now this is not a triangle, so that is a concern. Which Ms. Muirhead is running something on?
I just presented.
Ooh, Mr. Mayor, if I may add.
Yes. Go ahead, Rebecca.
It appears that there, I may have highlighted the portion in the figure incorrectly. There is a dotted line that I believe the legend, does not seem the legend. It might be following something other than the property line that's proposed. So that I would concur with Mr. Christie's interpretation that the lot addition that's before you is the same that was before the planning board. There might just be an error in the paper that I prepared as part of my report.
Thank you for the clarification. That means a fair bit, I think. Any other comments?
Just one thing. If you have my report in front of you, Mr. Mayor, on page 11, it shows the oldest, maybe if I can share my screen and bring it up, it might help. It may not.
Well, we'll get this organized here. That sounds good. I don't have it in front of me, sorry, but if you can share the
screen. Okay. If I can share my screen.
See, Carly just setting that up for you.
Now, can you see that?
All set, yeah.
Okay, the orange triangle is part one of this new plan, 42R21913, and that was surveyed based on the planning board application that was before it. We now have this yellow portion being added to that triangle. And there's no survey for that.
Through you, Mr. Chair, if I might just jump in here.
Yes.
That was what I was referring to, the dashed line there. I incorrectly took as the property line, where the yellow should refer to that orange triangle that's outlined there. So that's an error in just how I highlighted the plan of survey. So there's as I understand it, there's no change in between what we proposed through the lot addition that was heard before the planning board and the subject of this rezoning application. It's just a matter of how I've highlighted the plan for inclusion in my report.
So,
So I just want to understand this. The yellow portion is not being severed?
She's saying no. Shaking her head, no, I can't.
through you, Mr. Chair, the portion that's highlighted in orange, that darker shade of orange, with the solid line, that's, as I understand it, where the proposed property line is between 193 and 195.
So the yellow portion is not the lot, or a portion of the lot addition.
That was an error in how I prepared that figure.
And we see from this drawing, we see, it's blurred, but I think the garage is 1.8 meters from the rear lot line.
Correct.
And I think the garage is almost on the lot line, the new lot line.
It's 3 meters.
This is a portion of the garage, I believe.
I believe that's referring to the setback between the property line and the garage, and indicating that 3 meters between that property line and the garage. If you dash the arrows between.
I thought this new garage goes right over to the lot line.
As I understand it, zoom in a little bit closer, that there's arrows indicating the distance between the edge of the garage and the new property line, and indicating that distance is 3 meters.
Okay, Mrs. Muirhead.
Because we own both properties, we did it all one level, so it looks like there's no boundary between the garage and the driveway of the other one. We own both properties. It's easier to get the car in and out, get the trucks in. As I said, it's where the property line is. Yes, it is for property line, but for the usage, we can plant trees if that's a requirement, but it would not make sense for our accessibility to our both properties.
Okay.
So when you drive by, it might look that way, but that's not what it is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. We have enough there? Good. Still have quite a bit of an agenda left. Thank everybody for participating. We have Resolution 24-341, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township McKellar, does hereby reconvene into regular session at
8:12 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. So that'll come up later on our under bylaws. 21.2, that'll be later in the agenda.
May I just ask a question? Have we finished with my part of the agenda? Or do you need me to stay for any other clarification?
I think we're okay. As long as...
I can stay, it doesn't matter. Like, it's, if you have any other questions, I am more than willing to... to stay.
I think we've heard the concerns from the public, certainly, and Rebecca knows the concerns too, and the whole deeming. I think Patrick is a part of that too, so there'll have to be some changes probably to create a new bylaw, that's all. But I'm not sure we need any more input right now. I mean, what you gave us is really valuable information. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I think. Carly, you have my email address, so if you need to
get hold of me,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll do this. Before she presents, or after?
It doesn't much matter.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll let her talk. She's probably been waiting here, so. Delegations, presentations, Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee, new flyer for recycling education. Jennifer Gent Fuller, it's all yours.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me. The Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee has undertaken to develop education for the recycling program that's being continued in McKellar Township, but like all the municipalities in Ontario, it's now going to be under the Circular Materials Organization organized by the province, and McKellar Township becomes part of that in on July the 1st, and education is required as part of that transition. And so I'm just going to share my screen here. There we go. And this is where we started. This was in the materials from the Circular Materials Organization that delineated what is acceptable to be recycled and what is not. And as you can see, it's not very user-friendly. And so we went through all of these categories and
Jennifer,
researched the materials
Jennifer,
that were included and those that could you see that?
No, we're just stuck in your file folder. If you can click on the...
Yeah, if you double-click your file.
Is that visible to you now? No?
We just see the list.
Yeah. Double-click.
Sorry, double-click on the chart?
No, we're just seeing the files. It hasn't opened up the PDF.
Does she have to click share?
She is sharing her screen.
Sorry, double-click on...
On the, well, the icon that you see for chart from CMO and the one dated, well, one at the bottom of the list that you're clicking on right now. But click on the left side of that where it says chart from CMO. No, over on the left side of that table, if you want to call it that.
I think it's still a glitch.
Okay, I did that. You see it now?
No.
Oh, dear.
Well, just verbally then, and we'll try to imagine what you're describing.
Okay. Well, what you've got is three columns and all kinds of just lists of names and whether or not they're included. And so what the what you have in front of you in the package, I'll try to, if I can,
share
that.
I can really
share
my screen.
I'm used to seeing another share button, but I'm not seeing that.
On the right-hand side, is there a share button? Yeah.
Down on the right, Jennifer, I can see part of it anyhow there. Down near the bottom of that page? Yeah, right there.
I'm sorry. Well, you have it in your package, so I'm just going to talk to it, and I'll pull it out for myself. So we have a brochure that's six columns, and the first one I'm going to talk about is the outer one. So on the far right is it says how to recycle in McAuley Township. So that's just the basic introduction to what this is about. The center is aimed at the fact that a lot of people do recycling in two different communities, and the rules are very different in one community than they could be in McAllister. So that's basically pointing out that that they need to pay attention to what they need to do in McAllister rather than think that everything is included under the same rules. And on the left of that, we talk about the paper and the fibers. As you're aware, the township transfer station has two bins. They're both compactors, and one is for paper, and the other is for plastics and metal. And so we looked at what is included in the paper and what is not. So. The paper, some people look at something and say to themselves, well, it has paper in it, so therefore we can recycle it. But if it has layers of plastic or layers of foil, then it's not included. And if and similarly, any kind of plasticized coating on the paper or wax coating on the paper is not included. And so what we've tried to do, you'll see on your pages, we have green check marks and red null signs to make it really quite visible to people what is what's recyclable and what's not. And so then the inside pages, yeah, thank you. Again, we've tried to be as clear as possible. We have the recycle numbers on the right-hand side. We have illustrations in the middle. And then we have, it's very clear that there's a green check mark, yes, you can recycle this, or a red null sign saying, no, you can't recycle this. A couple of these graphics have changed since I sent this in, but they're basically the same. So I think it'll be quite clear. And we are going to also have a presentation at the RibFest. We'll have a table there and have examples of things that can be recycled and things that can't be recycled. And I think that it will be helpful to people to know exactly what's acceptable in McKellar. The other item that we're going to that we're working on now is to have signs. When I spoke with Andy in February at the transfer station, he was quite concerned that the brochures are helpful and they'll be good for people to have, but there needs to be a sign right on the bins. And so, as I understand it, McKellar owns the four compactor bins. Two of them are always in McKellar and they get exchanged for the two that are at Waste Connections when they're being emptied. And so we should be able to put signs that are not with the illustrations, but just saying, you know, what's acceptable and what's not. One of the things that we're going to have an issue with township residents is the fact that plastic bags are not acceptable. A lot of people bring their recyclables to the transfer station in a plastic bag and put the plastic bag in to the bin. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be working on, the education. I think people may have questions. I don't know if there's, we have had an estimate to print 2,500 copies of these brochures for $925 plus tax. That's within the budget of the Lake Stewardship and Education Committee. And we hope to have those ready for mailing out with the tax notices that go out at the end of July. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer those.
Well, I think this is excellent. And I don't know whether the signs have to actually be attached to the bin or whether it could be, maybe Councillor Kekna would know better, is there any other area outside the bin on a sign that could work as opposed to actually being up on the bin itself?
Either option would work. But how big are the signs, approximately?
We haven't designed them yet, but we're hoping to have them, you know, fairly large, like a foot by a foot, something like that.
So then those could be magnetic signs that stick to the side of the bin?
Yes, I think that, I know that McKellar owns the bins, and so because the McKellar's painted on the side of the bins, and so we may be able to actually fasten them more permanently than magnetic. I haven't looked into that yet.
I think if they were magnetic and they were fastened on the door that's opened, then they can see actually right there. And the fact is that if you fasten them permanently, you're not sure that bin is going to come back into that location. It could be a plastic that goes into the paper, because when they empty them, they're empty bins and they're situated differently. One is facing with the opening to the west, and the other one, when it's put in place, is the opening's on the facing to the east, so you're never going to have that permanent sign in the same location on whatever bin comes in, whenever it comes in. So I think the magnetic signs, they only need 2 magnetic signs compared to 8 permanent fastening signs.
The issue with that would be who would be changing them around. So,
so when he calls the bin out, he takes the sign off.
You're cool.
Well, do you just do it? It's part of the procedure. You take the sign off. Yeah, you have to close this door, and then the sign comes off.
But it would be on the inside of the door, so when the door is closed, it wouldn't be visible. Is that? I mean, and I'm not worried about that. I mean, obviously, if the door is open, then people can see the sign. That's all. So.
And that's the only time they're going to be
putting something
exactly.
in there.
So.
Would they get damaged, particularly in the paper bin, by materials being compressed, like cardboard being compressed and things?
No, that section is below where the door is.
Okay.
But there are times I've seen it happen with the attendant that if he's compacting, he'll say, just leave your plastics here, your cardboard, whatever, I'll put them in. And so if the door is closed, like you said, and you can't see, maybe he hasn't checked either whether they're acceptable.
Well, can you put it below, like where you throw it in? Put it on
I think the point here
the
is magnetic signs are more versatile.
Yeah.
We can figure out where they're going to go. That's going to be most practical, and maybe like he'll figure it out during the process.
I think it needs to be staring you in the face when you're trying to dump your bin or whatever you brought your recycling in. At least that's what we hope. I mean, there will be some people, I'm sure, that will simply ignore anything we put there and throw in whatever they want, which is pretty much what happens today. I had a conversation with Andy there maybe last week, maybe the week before about this, and then went and stood back over on the far side to watch, and I don't think people honestly read anything. They just take whatever they've got and whatever they've decided is going in that bin and throw it in there. And when you go over afterwards and look in the bin, you can see all kinds of things that aren't eligible, but you know. But I think this is an education piece. Sorry, Jennifer, I'm kind of stealing your thunder, but that this is intended to move people over time rather than instantaneously. I don't think we're going to like throw a switch and get, I don't think we'll ever get perfect, but I mean, we're not going to make a huge difference on day one, but hopefully this works. I started doing this at home in terms of the plastics in particular and realized that probably well more than half of what I was putting in of the clear plastic containers that usually get fruits and vegetables and those kinds of thing in, and when I looked at the numbers, and I now know it's 1, 2, and 5, that more than half of them were not eligible. So
you're willing to cough up the contaminated bins, are you?
That was yesterday's news, but yes. But no, it just points out the obvious. And frankly, Jennifer, I was looking this morning as I was putting some things out. I had 2 of those clear plastic things, completely different shapes. And even with my glasses on and even over a light, I could not read the number. So that's frustrating too. But I mean, many of them you can read it quite easily, but others you cannot. So.
And to complicate it further, you will see some things that have a 4 that are accepted and other things that are 4 that are not accepted. So
I'm thinking, you know, I've chatted with Andy about this a couple of times as well. And, you know, there are people that we probably won't be able to reach or who are only here for a weekend and then they somehow won't be recycling properly. But I have faith that there are a lot of residents who really want to get it right. And so I think we will have an impact in helping people understand as a first step, this is what you can recycle and this is what you can't recycle. So I'm hopeful that it will make an impact.
Yeah, just in case you're sitting down, I agree with you completely on that, Jennifer. And I believe, you know, like any education piece, you have to start somewhere and then learn as we go and adapt as we go. So,
yeah.
One of the big problems, of course, and we'll just end this up, but the packaging itself, sometimes it's such a combination of things, you don't know where to put it. Like even now with the cardboard, I had never realized that any plasticized at all on the cardboard, which is most of these days, you can't put in the cardboard.
Yeah.
So, right. I found that one of the most difficult things that I've faced myself is having to throw things out that I had always recycled, you know, like plastic bags, film, that kind of thing. I had always kind of balled it all up together and put it in the recycled with my fingers crossed. And so that is difficult for people to put things in the household garbage that they have previously recycled. But the point is that this is a raw material And so the idea is to give the optimal type of raw material back into the industry so that it can be used again. And so if you contaminate it with things that can't be used, then it's not as useful. That's where we are today. Anyway, hopefully in the future we'll be able to recycle more items.
For clarification, Jennifer, you mentioned about having the pamphlet put in with the taxes.
Right.
And I was just curious, Carly, if you remember the library had asked to have a pamphlet put in with the taxes and how much could go in with the taxes.
I'll have
we
to
asked
confirm
a couple
the weights.
Of months ago.
We'll
about
see if
that.
Both can fit in.
It'd be a thick envelope, I guess.
Yeah. Is the library's just one page?
It's a fold. One page folder.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, anything else, Jennifer?
No, that's all.
Okay, great.
Just hoping that the council will approve this so we can go ahead and send it to the printer.
Have a resolution right here. Oh, Councilor Keck.
Wasn't there one more step that I seen in your presentation here that you were going to confirm with the recycling facility first, that those items align?
I have done that.
Yes, and Carly has done that.
Yeah.
I sent Waste Connection to that exact pamphlet, and they approve of what's on it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have Resolution 24-342, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Jennifer Gent Fuller, Chair of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, presenting to Council the new flyer for recycling education to be circulated to ratepayers, and further direct staff to confirm with Waste Connections, Inc. that the information provided in the flyer is accurate to what is accepted at the McKellar Transfer Station, and further, after confirmation from staff, is authorized to circulate the flyer in the July tax bill milling. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Many thanks.
Well, thank you for all that you do there.
Thank you.
Down to 14, Resolution 24-343, moved by Councilor Keckin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the April 23rd, 2024 special meeting of Council as circulated and May 21st, 2024 regular meeting of Council as amended. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-344, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskam. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby receive the memo to the member of the Parry Sound Area Planning Board dated May 23rd, 2024, and the decision letter dated May 27th, 2024, with regards to consent application number B03/2024, Chandling, and further approve the amended municipal conditions for application B03/2024, being 1. Confirmation from the applicant solicitor that the lot addition will merge with the benefiting lot. 2. That all landowners who presently have access via Fire Route 150 continue to have deeded access if and when ownership of the fire route is transferred. 3. That the applicant solicitor and related party solicitor undertake to register a deeded right-of-way over Part 16, Plan 42R-18189, and the Allen lands in favor of 23 Fire Route, and provide a registered survey of same immediately following issuance of the consent certificate and perfection of the severance, and to provide evidence of same to the Planning Board. And 4. That the Planning Board will provide a consent certificate for the registration of the above right-of-way on the basis that it is a condition of severance set out in the Chandling Notice of Decision, and 5, payment of any applicable planning fees. Any discussion? Well, maybe we'll start with Patrick. Is he still on? Yes.
I am. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank
it was signed after the recommendations from Council went to the Planning Board for conditional consent approval, that the municipal conditions of consent that were added at the council meeting could not properly be fulfilled in the order or the as they were set out, and so the applicant's solicitor suggested changes to the municipal conditions I took it to the planning board in the thought that the conditions could be amended at that stage, because I felt that the intent of what needed to be done was the same, and it was just that the order or the procedures needed to be corrected, and it was deferred at the planning board level from members of the planning board who felt that it should come back to council. Thank you.
Thank you. You wish to speak to
No, this? I think Patrick covered it. Yeah, I think you
have we have your name, sorry, just for anybody.
Oh, else. Sure, Ken Allen.
Okay, Ken. So as he explained, that there's a change here in the order, but there are conditions in there that this whole thing, the consensus of it, is conditional. And so I think all of that still is covered. It's just that we had some ratepayers who come up with a certain procedure, I guess, and you're suggesting now through your solicitor that it's difficult to do some of this in the order in which
it. Yes, it was very onerous for, there were three different lawyers involved and required, and by modifying this, a single lawyer can do it, and the Shandling party doesn't need to be involved at all because it's just between myself and their grasses.
Okay. Now, that other comment you made, something about the fire route itself, that there was another comment that you wouldn't own that at this point, or that it's still in the Shandling name, I guess?
Yes. Yeah. So what I'm proposing to purchase from the Shandlings, and then I do have a portion that the Fire Road 150 runs over,
right,
and that's where I think it's parcel 23 or whatever, the Pendergrass party or owners, they need consent from me to cross over
right.
My land. That's what this is all about.
Okay.
Just that gets put in writing.
Questions from council? All the questions. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
That was quick.
Waiting all that time for that.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Thank you. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, Patrick.
Bye.
Second by Councillor Zulak, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received the draft agreement between Sotheby's International Realty and the Township of McKellar, and further that resolution number 2024-272 be rescinded, and further that Council direct staff to notify Mr. Murray to remove his sign from Township property. Discussion.
So looking at this, I know council has a different resolution in their packages, but what it comes down to is that the resolution that was in the package wasn't sort of factually accurate with the information that we had. But what it really boils down to is the terms and agreements, the terms and conditions of the agreement of us being the property owners, and the application with the MTO should be made by the property owner?
Correct. So the MTO permit should be in the name of the township, and the Realty Corporation should be the tenant.
And so when you look at our sign bylaw, we've made it quite fair for the opportunity for anyone to have signs on township property on the fingerboard signs, and they have an equal opportunity for advertising, whereas allowing one company to have sole access to municipal property to advertise, do we really want that?
I guess the one question I had when I look at the location of it, do we know for a fact that it is on, part of it anyway, is on township property?
I think that's a really good question, and that's the starting point. Like, you know, if it is, because it's hard to tell with Westbury Sound Geography Network. I looked at it closely, and I tried to even adjust if where it was showing the MTO right-of-way, if it was off by a bit. I think there's about a 25-foot difference between where there could be some. There's 25 feet between where the MTO right-of-way is on Westbury Sound Geography Network and the sign. So we know that Westbury Sound Geography Network surveyed lines are not 100% accurate 100% of the time. So I think that's, if it's on MTO right-of-way, well, then they can have that discussion with MTO.
That's what I was wondering. And I noticed some of the other signs that Mr. Murney had listed, most of the major drive up the road seem to be on MTO allowance and outside a fence. And this one, it's pretty hard to tell, but there's nothing stopping him then from actually going to MTO and moving his sign out, I suppose, and getting permission from him. And as you say, then he would be the applicant for that. To MTO would be left out of it.
If he moves his sign onto the MTO quarter, then his permit with MTO is still valid.
Right, okay. Sounds good. So will that be conveyed to him, or
we've had discussions with Mr. Rooney and said if one option was for him to move the sign, if that was agreeable, and he said yes. If council saw that that was the answer, that he would move the sign into the MTO corridor, and his permit would be valid.
Okay, so sounds good then. Any further discussion on that? Call the question. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. I think what Councillor Cappin said too, the reasoning behind fair game for everyone and favor one over another on township properties.
Well, not only that, but say it wasn't the township that had bought that piece of property, do you think a private individual would want somebody sign there without their permission?
Yeah, maybe they did before, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean like when it went for sale or whatever, right?
Right.
You would think, you couldn't just put a sign there.
And then the agreement as well, it never mentioned any monetary amount.
No.
Whereas people are paying to have signs on the fingerboard signs, and this was an agreement allowing, a sign to be put on township property with no compensation.
Yep.
Yeah, it would be cleaner this way.
Okay, on to 16.1, resolution 24-346, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of Teller has hereby received the minutes of the April 24th, 2024 meeting of the District of Parry Sound West, Belvedere Heights, Board of Management. Discussion? Well, the question?
Oh, 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah. So on page two
I'll catch him when he's napping.
So page two, it says 9.1, so. Yes, that is page two. Highlights were as follows. The March statement showed an operating surplus of $104,000. The Ministry of Long-Term Care clawed back a surplus from 2019 at year-end. The 2023 audited financial statements were presented. It was a clean audit. The year ended in a 510,000 dollar surplus. So the March statement showed an operating surplus of 104K. The Ministry of Long-Term Care clawed back the surplus from 2019 at year end. So is that, so the ministry is taking that surplus? Is that the amount that the ministry has allocated to Belvedere, or are they taking the municipal portion of the surplus? Because if they're taking the municipal portion, wouldn't it make sense that the budgeting is such that there isn't a surplus and the municipalities get that money back?
I think that was one of the reasons why the levy actually was reduced, because they couldn't keep such a large surplus, so they had to give it up to, I don't think the ministry got that surplus. I know what you're saying, clawed it back. I think that means, maybe Councillor Zulak can correct me on this, but is that they had to reduce that surplus.
Right.
Didn't it necessarily that it was going to the ministry?
It went to the municipalities.
Okay.
Went to the municipalities.
The way it's worded, it seemed like the Ministry of Long-Term Care was...
Yeah, no, that was the... They were only allowed to... Oh, I forget what the amount was, to have so much.
Mm-hmm.
And they had double that. So that money went back to the municipalities, supposedly going into a reserve. Keller was supposed to sort of have 80.
Well, here we go again.
Yeah.
Didn't do it.
Budget's been set. Come on.
Yeah. So, but that will come up later and talk about the beds.
Didn't they just reduce the levy that was levied on the municipalities? Isn't that
That's
so?
How it was done, yeah.
It's misleading, not that we want these anyway. It's misleading to say clawed back, but after. I mean, I understand the point, but it was just passed on as a cost reduction to the municipalities, right? So that's my understanding for a couple of years now, anyhow.
I just wanted to make sure that they weren't over budgeting and then the municipal portion was going to the Ministry of Long Term Care.
No, it went back to the municipalities.
Okay, thank you. That's just clarification on that. Any further discussion? All the questions? All those in favor? On hold, carried. Resolution 24-347, moved by Councilor Second and second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the April 22nd, 2024 meeting of the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board. Any discussion of those minutes? All the questions, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Resolution 24-348, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haslam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the April 29th, 2024 meeting of the Township of McKellar Public Library Board. Discussion? Councilor Beckett?
So 8B on page 3, other, it's other performance criteria committee. The performance criteria committee created a performance criteria form. Do we have, or is it possible for Council to see that performance criteria form?
Yeah, I'm
pretty
sure. I'll ask them, and then if you want,
Thank you.
Any further discussion? All the questions, all in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-349, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the letter dated May the 10th, 2024 from the Georgian Bay Biosphere with regards to celebrating their 20th year anniversary for information purposes. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-350, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas Council reviewed Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, MPACS, Data Sharing and Services Agreement, DSSA, in December 2023, and whereas Council defeated Resolution Number 2023-785 to authorize the Mayor and Clerk Administrator to sign the agreement, and whereas Council and staff had met on multiple occasions with representatives from MPAC and the West Prairie Sound Geography Network, in an attempt to keep previously public data kept public in the future after signing the DSSA, and whereas MPAC offers two product use sheets, standard and enhanced, that allow for specific municipal data elements to be displayed on the municipality's website, and whereas data elements not captured in the standard and enhanced product use sheets have been identified in a third custom product use sheet, allowing more municipal data sets to be shown on the West Prairie Sound Geography Network's website. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby authorize the Mayor and the Acting Clerk Administrator to sign the Data Sharing Services Agreement and the three product use sheets being the standard, enhanced, and custom sheets. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
From what I can see, I don't know if any other councillors or staff have viewed what's accessible currently. It seems like the same information that was previously visible to the public now seems to be consistent with what was previously available. Is that?
I'm assuming, like, the West Prairie Sound Geographic Network has multiple municipalities on their database, and all the other municipalities have signed these product use sheets and the DSSA, so I don't think it would be a lot of work for West Prairie Sound Geography Network to just remove McKellar's data sets at this time. So, and the staff haven't had a service disruption with Municipal Connect or anything, so nothing's been changed. But this is kind of, you know, the final, you know, please look at signing this agreement before we do start removing services.
What I'm getting to, though, is that with the initial proposals that we've seen, there were going to be numerous items that were not going to be available to the public. There was going to be costs to the public to be able to access this information, and it looks like that has been taken into consideration, and we're back where we were, that the information is available to the public at no cost.
Legally.
Legally.
Before it wasn't. That's the way I read it, too. I haven't been on the site recently, so I don't know, but you say everything is there pretty well.
I checked it a couple of weeks ago. Then, at that time, I think they were trying to structure it, because then you had to enter a password and some other information, and there was no place to get that information, from what I could see. And then a couple of days later, refreshed, and then that information was accessible. So something happened within that time frame, and I checked it again today just to make sure. And I, you know, started fresh again, Westbury Sound Geography Network, and as public user, that information populated, and there was no passwords required or any interruptions. So I think I hope this we made an impact in ensuring that that information was available to the public at no cost. So.
And that all of those townships who signed early will come and thank you.
Yes.
Ensuring that they get to keep us.
Send you a few dollars?
No, no.
I'm kidding.
I'm doing a public service.
No, I checked this morning, too, and was able to go through and access everything. It wasn't self-evident to me the first time I was, I think, signing in or getting to that box, but then I backtracked a bit and reread it again, and then it worked. And I you're right, I exited the system and then went back in, and then I could see the information they were describing here. So, and it was painless the third time anyhow. So,
and I went down through the columns on the left where it has the assessment roll number for property location. All those items that were previously on there are currently on there at this time. So,
but the custom product stuff, the sanitary service and water service, hydro service, all that was there too. So So I was impressed, and like I said, I'm not even really clear on where I got messed up the first time in, and I thought, well, I don't know, this isn't working, and then whatever it did, I went, scrolled back up, which it would let me do quite a ways, and then it told me that I had to wait and then get a code from them, and then enter the code, and even then it was really kind of quirky, and that's why I decided I'm going to exit, and I'm going to go back in as a public user, and there it was, so it was a piece of cake. It worked. As this describes, although maybe not the first time. My advice to a new user or somebody that is trying it would be just persist and you'll get in. So.
Okay. Discussion?
Everybody should thank you, Mike.
Well, all of the council. The council stood up for that. So.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-351, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas on April the 5th, 2024, Belvedere Heights Board of Management received the long-anticipated letter from Ministry of Long-Term Care declining the request to relocate Belvedere Heights to a campus of care. And whereas the Ministry of Long-Term Care has requested that Belvedere Heights Board of Management express their intention regarding the addition of the previously approved in April 2021, 24 beds to Belvedere Heights. And whereas the Ministry of Long-Term Care has provided the requirements to qualify for the recently announced maximum $35 per diem construction funding top-up by a November 2024 deadline, and whereas the Belvedere Heights Board of Management financing plan will not require new funding from its municipal partners, and whereas time is of the essence to comply with the Ministry of Long-Term Care recommended milestone for municipal owner approval by June 2024, now therefore be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby endorses the Belvedere Heights Board of Management request to apply for final approval from the Ministry of Long-Term Care to build up to 24 new long-term care beds at 21 Belvedere Avenue and further, this endorsement be subject to meeting all of the Ministry of Long-Term Care requirements, including the required financing plan. Discussion. Just that interest, that opening line there, I just wonder how it's worded. Belvedere Heights Board received a long-anticipated letter declining the request. Well, I don't think that's what they wanted.
No.
So it just seems awkward the way it's...
No, they wanted the candidate.
They wanted it, yeah. So it almost sounds as if they were looking forward to this letter to decline. But anyway, Councilor Riley.
Debbie, I know I asked you before about the $35 per diem construction funding top-up. So that's per bed per day?
Yeah.
But from what time to what time is what I was trying to... In other words, how much money are we talking?